Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Giving Children Hope show tonight. Thank you to everyone that's listening in. We do have an amazing show ahead. We have a very special guest that's on with us tonight. We're going to introduce her in a moment. We first thought we would start by kind of just letting the elephant out of the room tonight. Tanis and I, my co-host here on Giving Children Hope, Tanis in Canada, myself, Donna Ferris, I'm the state of Maine. We have come to the conclusion that we are going to, this will be our last show. We don't know for how long. It's been a very tough decision. Even just talking about it doesn't seem right, because even just saying we're going to stop giving children hope. we're going to stop giving children hope show for a little while. It just, those words don't even make sense coming out of my mouth. I never want to stop giving children hope. But, you know, it's just a situation that's out of our control and out of our hands. 2 weeks ago, I lost the internet. I am not able to afford the internet by any means. I, like most parents who have had their children kidnapped, I sold everything I could possibly even own in my possession other than precious personal items, you know, just to fight the kidnapping. So I have no money to have the internet. From that, it was a possibility to go, possibly go to a neighbor's and, you know, borrow the nice neighbor's internet to try to keep the show going. But then I'm caring for a loved one here. The people that took me in, Eddie and Kathy Garrick. Eddie has, he's older in age. He has serious medical issues and he's had multiple falls recently. He's in 24/7 care and he just broke his back. So he's looking at surgery. So even just going to a neighbor's house to try to continue giving children hope just isn't possible. It would have to be the internet here. We talked about, you know, is there a way I could do it without the internet, which there just isn't. It just isn't in my heart. This is an internet radio show, and it's a show for children. It's designed to reach out to our children and to let them know we're here and we understand and we love them and we're fighting for them. I can't do an internet radio show without the internet, without access to the internet. I cannot do 1% of something for all of our children. I have to be over 100% doing it. So I, with a very heavy heart tonight, I am also not prepared as I would normally be for the Giving Children Hope show, and I'll be honest, without the internet and with the care that is needed here at home, I have not been able to. Thank God for a wonderful co-host, Tanis. She has gotten tonight's show together. She has worked out an incredible guest who was an absolute blessing to even come on our show tonight. So I'm going to actually take this and give this to Tanis and let you start with our scripture for tonight that we would normally do, and just say thank you again to everybody listening. We're going to give you a great show all the way to 10 o'clock p.m. and we just hope you all listen in right to the very end, and we love you for it. So Tiana, you take it away, girl.
We started, thanks Donna. We started with a brief scripture passage and every show, and ended with one, which Donna will. But there's a couple of short passages that I have. One from Isaiah 44:22, return to me, for I have bought you and set you free. And so much of what our children are going through are, and what we're going through, is a form of enslavement. And that the fact that we find out so late, these custody orders are in place till children are 18, forced upon them, it's really quite unbelievable. And one of the messages of hope in scripture is that we are God people, and he is setting us and our children free. And I'll also read, actually, as a connection to our special guest, Aaliyah Holland, who has just published her, well, now the paperback has come out, A Little Lynched. One of the passages she has in her book is from Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And these messages are for our children and for us moms and loving family members that are battling this evil. And I've just almost finished reading Aaliyah's book, and it's an amazing read. She's just nailed everything of what's going on while tying that in with her own personal experience. and what she's discovered in family court in a very short time, and now has furiously been writing books, which is really quite amazing to me, because that she's had the energy and to do that. And she's going to talk to us tonight about just why she chose that path in this battle, and some of her journey in this. And we're also going to talk about our children and the effects of children, you know, what this is doing to them, what people don't often think about, what they're going through. And Aaliyah's little guy is quite young. My boys are almost 12 and 14 and almost 18. And Donna's two sons are, getting close to adulthood also, like, especially her. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but maybe we'll leave that to the end about where things are at with, Donna's sons. But, Aaliyah, just like to thank you for coming on, and we're looking forward to hearing, you know, how you're proceeding, how you're going about this battle, because there are so many moms in particular, but I know there's many dads, but moms in particular that we've been talking about in this particular situation, and so many children that are losing life with their moms or loving parents. So I'll just turn it over to you, Aaliyah. Well, that's kind thank of wide you, open, but...
No, I'm okay. Thank you for having me. Like I always say, I love being here in such a exciting way, but it's like awful horrifying for me at the same time, especially what I identified in family court. And from my experience, I just life, like I've always been a part of different civil rights groups. Right before my son was captured, I was with like the Stop Mass Incarceration Network, which was dealing with how they really capture prisoners and build these jails to make profit off of. So if you don't, like in Mark Civarella case where he was doing the cash for kids game, if you have these prisons and you don't have anybody to fill these prisons, then you make people, create people. You invent crime on people and you put the people in jail, like how we discovered with the whole Mark Civarella case. So just like early on, I've always been just eager to learn about social justice. That's even where my Facebook name came from, because I used to call myself Harriet Tubman for like the last 20 years. And now Facebook won't let me change it to my real name, Aaliyah Holland. So I just leave it, you know, it's just a reminder of all of the great deeds that I have to commit to that God is using me for. So my son was stolen about 19 months ago, and my case was totally rigged. Like, nothing made sense. No laws applied. There was no order, no policy. I had studied the canon, code of judicial ethics. Because if I'm in a courtroom, I like to know what's going on. And nothing made sense. Like, it was rigged. It was fixed. And my ex and I, we never had custody issues. He was a woman beater. Sometimes he'll slap the children around. He had a son and from his previous relationship. And I didn't even know he was a woman beater until he attacked me at a custody exchange when I had broken up with him. And his mother and I used to do the custody exchanges. And then on Christmas of 2010, he popped up, which was rare because his mother and I had been doing exchanges for almost a year. But he was becoming more and more crazy that I wanted to speak to him. Okay, so during that time, they pulled us into family court, and everyone was like, and domestic violence court. He had already been encouraged by ACS when I broke up with him to go and apply for full custody while he had an open criminal case for my child. And if he applied for welfare benefits, and if he received full custody, he can get welfare benefits and Section 8. And he was living with me at the time. I was breaking up with him. So he, I guess, thought that was a great idea. So while he had an open criminal case for something, not even dealing with this, it was something with him getting caught doing drugs and the police got to him and they had a fight and all the drugs was out. So while he had an open criminal case, he went into court and I believe he had a temporary order now that everything has come together. And my son always lived with me. Like, he had this paper. He perjured himself on the paper. He claimed he had a job. He had been unemployed for 6 years. He was this big time director doing A, B, and C. He could never prove tax returns to show that unless he falsified them. Everything in the report was perjury. So when I didn't get back with him, he served me after 6 months of having this order. I believe he was awarded. But in the interim, he was collecting welfare benefits. And they even gave his mom kinship benefits. And they live in the same household.
So from when we first went into court, I'm like, hold up, wait a second. How is the mom getting kinship benefits and my son, the dad, is getting welfare benefits and they both live in the same house, but my son lives with me? So I was a problem from the beginning. Because I even had Tannis listen to a recording. I'm like, I reported this 15 times and no one has done anything. You know, so it's basically what I discovered and I identified in almost every situation where you have like a psychopathic abuser or a pedophile. There's a formula for us. There's a formula. They have fake diagnoses. One of them is parental alienation syndrome. They have fake diagnoses. And these hoaxes are conquering the law. It's basically racketeering that's going on. Everyone is in on it. You're blindsided by the collusion and the fraud because you never in your life expect a judge, the lawyers, and everyone in the therapist. You never in your life would think that they would be in such collusion with this corruption. It's you think at the next court date they're going to do right by me. At the next court date, the judge is going to get it. Maybe she was hired. And I noticed in a lot of these cases, there's a lot of women judges. I'm calling them straight up aliens because I can't believe it. And you just wonder the next month. And before you know it, you're in there 2 years. And I'm like, hold up. Judge, like, I can't keep coming to this place. I take off of work. I've been fired 4 times. I've been fired, went from $58 an hour to food stamp since I've been in family court and since ACF has been involved in my home. I've had over 300 ACF visits. It was never any abuse in my home. But once I went into family court, the domestic violence judge and everybody were creating abuse against me. They were implying, they were fabricating, they were documenting, they were coaching my 3-year-old to say bad things in the privacy. Like they said, well, your child said you play with guns. And the lawyer would stand up and say, and I believe my 3-year-old client when he says mommy plays with guns. So I was kind of like, well, his grandmother do play with guns. And maybe you guys are getting the mommies mixed up because his grandmother did pull a gun out and threw a murder suicide and everyone was a witness to it and everything. So maybe you guys are getting the mommy too long, you know? So maybe at the next court date, they'll figure it out and they'll get it right. But from what I identified, there's different formulas for different types of families, and it's all rigged. Family court is not a truthful place. It's not an honest place. There's no law. There's no order. It's straight up racketeering, as they say, RICO in the courtroom. And it's so funny because, you know, I do a show, Untold Horror Stories of Family Court, ACS, and CPS every Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. We have a blog talk show that's connected to a radio show. And a lawyer came on tonight, Pat Berry, and she says the same exact thing that I've been writing in my book, that I've been talking about, that I've been writing in articles, which is going to be more. I'm going to be blogging more. But this is a custody rig. This is a holocaust. Your children are the carrot, and they will have you chase your children for the rest of your child's life if you make it out. They will gag the mom. They will put the mothers. And why I speak from a mother perspective, as I say again, because there are different formulas for different type of family situations. And I am amongst the protective moms that try to escape abuse. And because I tried to escape abuse, that put me in a different category of collusion that they can commit and assist and aid and abet my abuser with fraud and corruption, which is equivalent to RICO. So when I speak about that, I'm talking from a protective mom perspective. And right. I will, in the future, write about the new holocaust. And the new holocaust, I show the different formulas that they have for different families, which some of you may have seen in divorce court. I never seen it. I did see the trailer. I heard a lot about it. But, like, in divorce court, they show different, you know, it was from a male perspective, and they show that type of corruption and collusion in the court. And it basically boils down to, as myself, a black woman, which I do understand, there's industries created to make money off of us. And at the pain, heart-wrenching torment and torture of our children's innocence, of our children's purity, of their mind, of their physical well-being, money is taking precedence. And they're willing to sacrifice, child sacrifice, for it. And that's all it boils down. So if you believe that family court is truthful and you're going to get a fair case, I feel sorry for you because you're not, you know. And this is a civil war. You know, this is a war that's happening to us mothers. It's a secret war because you don't hear anything about it. And as we were speaking on the other show, the media has been controlled into blocking it out. That's why I am writing books. That's why I am starting a magazine, because we have to be our own media. You know, as much as we post on Facebook, there's numerous ways to create free articles. You can go on any search engine and Google ways to create free articles. You even have organizations that will pay you to do articles for them. Because no one, like myself, I never heard of this. I entered family court at 35 years old. I've been, like I said, my grandmother had 10 children. I'm one of 30 grandchildren. We never heard of this type of heinous crimes committed by judges, lawyers, child lawyers happening in family court until my son was captured. So
that actually sums it up very accurately. And you're not afraid to mince words. You're not afraid to basically state it like it is. Donna is another. I'm not sure. Donna, are you still there?
Oh yes, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Leah, I gotta stop you for a second too. And I'm really, really sorry that you're even in this and your son is going through this at 3 years old, you know, just a precious baby himself. What's his first name?
My son's name is Howard. And why it wasn't like, you know, in a book you want to protect people. Like, the month after the judge stole my son, I filed a $999 trillion lawsuit against him. And I called it what it was. I called it bribery. I even included the lawsuit in the book. And when I was so proud of myself, right, because I was like pregnant when I sat down, and I'm a fanatical researcher. So I researched a bunch of lawsuits of lawyers that actually sued the government and won. I researched lawsuits of lawyers that sued CTS and won. And I researched lawsuits like Mark Civarella and Michael Conahan that were doing the Cash for Kids schemes, and they won. So I was doing, like, you understand, like, I researched lawsuits of winners, and I always share my advice, you know, because...
You're incredible. You are an incredible mother, because 19 months ago, they might have captured your precious son Howard, but you know what? They lit a fire under you that you're just gonna,
thank you.
Sorry they mess with you. I am so sorry this happened to you. My heart goes
out
to you.
But I'm fighting for you guys now, because I tell people I know how to fight. I know how to start a revolution.
That's right. You're one heck of a mother. You love our son. You are a beautiful mother. God bless your heart.
I do, but my heart hurts for humanity to even see this social injustice going on for money. And it broke my heart. Like, I'm saying, how the hell are they doing this to white women? I mean, I put out an article, and in that month, over 700 women reached out to me, and four of them were black, and the rest were white women.
Predominantly white women that have
like,
been working as professionals right now. Like that's the family court cases that are these extreme orders where
it broke my heart. And I'm like, that's when I came up. I'm like, it's Holocaust. It's all Holocaust. This is crazy. And I'm telling you, this is, people don't know about it, but we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep blogging about it. We're going to do the magazines. We're going to do more books. We're going to do your story, Donna. I want your story. I want Tana's story. But you know what I do? For my own protection, I like to see the transit. I like to see because it's so many provocateurs and imposters, and I call them masturbators, because they bait us. They mastermind team to bait us into these nasty, nasty, disgusting type of scenarios that you would never expect judges to be a part of. Lawyers, gals, therapists, you know, in some instances they are adopted, because in some instances, like Justina Pelletier, where they stole the daughter and committed her to a mental institution, and only until the dad broke his gag order, now he's getting media coverage. But I've been hearing bits and pieces about that story. What's that guy named? InfoWars? What's his name?
Alex Jones?
Yes. I've been hearing bits and pieces about that story through Alex Jones. And then only they, and that's what they do. They scare you into silence. You know, they put out warrants for my arrest. Oh, I've been arrested.
Do you want to say anything about around this?
No, definitely. My ex now, that's what he was crazy about. I had stopped speaking to him when I found out he was willing to use his son as gator bait for welfare benefits. Like, we never had custody issues. I would let the crazy come to my house and stay in my home while I went to work. I worked a night tour as a registered nurse in emergency room ICU. And while I worked a night tour, I would even let him come to my house and stay in my house and watch his son, even though I have older children. Like, my oldest son is 23 years old, and I have a 14-month-old, and the 17-year-old, my daughter, and my son, he's now 6, the one that was stolen by the family court. So even though I had, you know, older children at home, I still would let the dad come. So we never had custody issues, but for him to want to collude in this type of nastiness to try and pay me back for leaving him. Okay, so in 2010, I cut off all communication, and I can send you the emails and everything. He was going crazy. He was contacting, like, I have over 5,000 friends on my fan page, and he was contacting, like, all the males, like, when was the last time you had sex with Aaliyah? Hold on, let me send that to you. When was the last time you had sex with Aaliyah? I had, like, at least, like, 10 men in 1 week, like, hey, what's going on? It's this psycho guy contacting me, saying, like, when the last time we had sex, and he was saying all types of evil stuff about you, how you have diseases and how you're, you know, a bad mother. Like, who is this guy? And I'm like, well, send me the text messages or the emails or whatever you, the Facebook, posting this on Facebook. And they did. And during a custody exchange, you could see, like, he was psychotic. He reached out to, like, over 20 people that I've never been in a sexual relationship with. Some that I was with.
Well, he was cyber-stalking you. This is, like, what a lot of teenagers are living with, too, like cyber-stalking. So that's an important thing to be concerned about.
Right. So through his cyber-stalking, when he saw me at the precinct, now his mother and I always did the custody exchanges, or she did it with my other children. You know, like, I really, after I'm done with you, I'm done with you. I don't want any more contact, any more conversation or anything. You could come and get your son anytime you want, but it won't be me doing the exchange, you get it? It'll be someone else. So during the custody exchange, I was surprised on Christmas 2010 that he was the one doing the exchange, which it wasn't supposed to be. Okay, so at the precinct, he was cursing me out. He was asking me who I was sleeping with. Mind you, I hadn't been in a relationship with him in a year and had no communication with him. But, you know, really vulgar, really cursing, really psychotic. And so he was arrested. And then while we were inside of the family court domestic violence setting, he was still harassing me. And that was my whole thing. Like, how am I here and you're still allowing him to exactly cyber stalk me, spread cyber slander me, defame me? And it was like, we don't care, you know? So during that time, and recently, in July of 2013, the judge gave my ex, my psycho abuser, an order of protection against me as retaliation for reporting her to the Judiciary Committee. Mm. So, yeah, so they held a fake trial, and everything that he was arrested for, she had removed the charges off of him, and then she put the charges onto me. And when she put the fake charges onto me, she gave my ex an order of protection. So now, which does, he goes on, my family notifies me and things like that. He goes on social media and he creates fake conversations with himself. So I don't know if he does it graphically because he's a graphic designer and an artist. Like, he knows how to Photoshop. He knows how to do all of that deceptive and deviant stuff to harm people. But he initiated a fake conversation with himself. Now, I know he doesn't have my telephone number. That actually changed my number like probably like 10 times since leaving the relationship. But he creates a fake conversation with himself and say he'll save it in his own as Aaliyah. He took the fake conversation to the precinct, but he also posted it on social media, like, my ex be trying to get back with me, F that B, all types of nonsense. I haven't spoken to the guy since 2010. 2013, he goes into a precinct. He says, look, this is my ex and she's harassing me, whatever, he said. My arrest.
And this is what, actually, this is, and Donna, you might have something to say about this too. It seems that the very people that deserve and need protection, like the children and the women in these situations, are the ones that actually have a protection order on their heads where they're not allowed to go near their children and get criminalized if they do.
Donna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I was kind of hoping, would you tell me a little bit more what happened? Like, you said you got arrested and stuff. Like, do you still have charges pending? What has happened?
Yes, I do. It's actually dragging out because what happened, I had police children living with me, and they were using drugs in my home. And trust me, I'm a registered nurse. I give out drugs all day and night. So I'm really liberal about drugs. I'm like, you can't use drugs in my home, but, you know, if you go outside, enjoy all the drugs you want.
Right.
You know, so when, because I told them they couldn't use drugs in my home, they decided they want to fight me with justice in my arm. So when I called the police, it was a warrant out for me. So I looked like the bad guy. Right. And
justice
then they
is
have,
her baby, Donna. Donna, I don't know if you know
yes.
that. That's her little baby.
I had a baby on the same day.
Hey, Mommy.
I had a baby on the same day that my child was stolen from me. Birthday. Emergency C-section, yes.
What day was it?
January 8th, 2013, I had Justice.
Oh,
on the same day as, yes, I named him Justice, exactly.
That is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Give Justice a big kiss for me. That's amazing. That's exactly it, Justice, right there. I'm so sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Donna, I'm sorry.
So the criminal charges right now is still pending. Like, what is it that they're going, do you have any idea what's going to try to do with this?
Oh, no, they have to throw it out. I'm conscious of the law. It's total fabrication. I have video, I have audio, I have cameras in front of my home. And they have all of that. So they were asking me recently, would I take a violation and pay a fine? And in 6 months, my court date was March 12th. And I take a violation and pay a fine. And I'm like, no, thank you. I need a full dismissal so I can sue you guys.
Right. I mean, it's all an attempt to slander and discredit further your name anyway. You know, whenever mm-hmm. you try to get your son back. So that's all the criminal game is, you know, basically that. But.
Yeah, to humiliate you, to defame you, to exactly,
yeah.
to
it's
diminish
easier,
and.
It's easier for the public to believe their further lies and deception if
yes.
you have a criminal charge, you know, criminal conviction on you, or even a charge allegation against you or something. They'll even, you know, go that far. But it's all just to discredit the protected parent so that, you know, that parent is shut down and silenced even more, you know, trying to protect
exactly.
your child. So, again, I'm really, really sorry that you're even going through any of this and that your children are. I mean, all of your children. I'm sure this hurt everyone in the family, you know, a kidnapping like this hurt everything.
It does.
Yeah.
It really, really does. And it's so evil. And that's what I want to educate the public. Like, we're going to start a national tour. And it's so crazy because we were planning this. In Washington, D.C., I have to meet with a bunch of people. However, I didn't even know, like, a Battered Mothers Conference is going to be around that same time. And I've never been to one, you know. I've never been to one. But I'm eager to go because I'm going to be meeting a lot of the moms that I've been communicating with and just come together. Like I said, my whole goal and purpose is to educate the public about what's going on and to encourage and be a support system for the mom. And like I tell people, there are different formulas for different types of parents in the family court system, different ways to plunder and pillage us and to steal and seize, you know, for the amicable couple that just want to separate. They could be tied up in a custody, not a custody case, but an asset case for 5-10 years, you know, just how to divide assets and which from the time you set foot in that court, you know, they're billing you, either in front of your face or secretly, they're billing you, you know? And it really is. Money has conquered the war, and they'll use whatever trick and schemes and whatever they can to steal your children. And people, like I said, I just, like, really try to educate. So I'm going to be doing, like, going around, doing a national tour. But my goal is to, like, a class action lawsuit in every state. And, yes, and I just got off the phone with a lawyer. She came on the show today, and she agreed. So, like I said, you have to do your research, find out lawyers that have been successful in conquering these type of challenges and battles and heinous crimes that we're dealing with. And there's many. They're secret. We don't hear about it in the media because the media is controlled. You know,
that's right.
But
what did you
right.
What did you look for when you were looking that up, Leah? What did you look for in terms of the laws that were being broken or violated or breached when you were looking up lawyers that were successful in cases that you think would be similar?
Well, I always hear the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and the 14th Amendment, where it's like seizing our children. You always hear illegal searches and seizures. And by that happening is them taking our children without due process. You hear that a lot, without due process. Like, they baited us into this courtroom, and we didn't even know we were going to be persecuted and prosecuted. And if we were, then we had the Fifth Amendment in place, the right to remain silent. Anything you're saying will be used against you. I know. I study the law. I've seen a copy of my lawsuit I filed in 2012, and then I've seen a lawyer who's suing a judge. And my lawsuit is on point.
That's good.
I was proud of myself, but truthfully, behind the scenes, they're like, oh, we never, like, they start lying, and even where they slandered me and they said bad things about me. Like, I have the documents where they slandered me and tried to, when they were inventing their crimes against me. And then I have the documents where they redacted everything and retracted everything and cleaned it up. Yes. No, we didn't say this. We said that. We never said those things about her. We don't even know why she's suing us. She can have her son any day she wants. And why is she making this up? It was like that. It was like that. It was.
So is that true? You
like
could have
that.
Your son anytime?
You know they were lying.
Yeah, okay.
They were lying. We want to work with Ms. Holland. We want to just, you know, try a 50-50 custody now. New York State law is 90 days. I've been here 3 years. Now? Why now? You know, so they were saying what they felt they should say. That's what I get from these courts. They make up the illegal and psychotic rules that they, as they go along. And nothing is based on law in these courts. And like I was showing Tannis, I just do tons and tons of research. And this is all rigged. It's all rigged. If you want to believe that it's not, God, I pray for you. But if you think you're going to get justice after 3 years, after 4 years, after 5 years, after 7 years, I don't know what to say.
There's no angle. You don't think there's any point to going to federal court or suing them if they've denied you justice in custody court.
I believe that the only court you should start out in is federal court, and like from federal court to Supreme Court, if that is ever denied. All that appealed is bullshit because they're in collusion. Every lawyer that I've spoken to, and I can send you some more through over, where numerous lawyers have said that appeals court and family court are in collusion with each other. And family court has a way, like even in my case, these temporary orders can last like 5 years. In some other instances I read, a temporary order being in place for 5 and 10 years, and Supreme Court cannot rule on a temporary order. So with all kinds of trickery that the lower court and family court do, that they know, like I hear about the Pendis Court and this court in New York City, we only have family court and domestic violence court. And they're both the same. They're both full of trickery. You know, the judges and the lawyers, they don't do the back of the steakhouse over in the envelope underneath the table anymore. You know, they found other ways of making you go on this custody chase, as I call it. And like in one instance, they found like a lawyer, the judge appoints the cases to these child lawyers, and the judge appointed the child to almost 30 cases, but in the back end, the lawyer like supports her campaign, supports this, they go get their hair done together, they have other relationships outside the court. So the judge, and that's explaining, give this person 30 cases, could total $1 million easily, and they slip money on the back end. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's no more bribing one parent against the other parent like back in the days. They found newer schemes. They found newer tactics and strategies and techniques of how to basically conquer us and plunder us and pillage us like they did the Indians. This is straight up jacking. Straight up dealing our children everything.
Yeah,
so,
and making it legal. Making it legal. And the way I compare it to the Holocaust is during that time in government, that was a government, a legitimate government. People didn't know what he was up to, how he was scheming, and he passed 400 laws to make everything Hitler did to make everything legal. And so people don't question those laws, and they enforce the court orders that, regardless of how inhumane they are, I mean, it doesn't take someone with even a huge heart to see this is inhumane to keep children from family they love, keep them from their mamas. And maybe that this is a point to talk a little bit about what we think our children are feeling in all of this. Like I recall, I think it was one of the shows you had, Aaliyah, where you talked about your little boy seeing you. He hadn't seen you for
quite
some time, and because you haven't seen him now for over a year, and he's very young.
Right. And when he seen me in the street, he started punching his father because his father would pull him away. And he just like turned around and he started straight attacking his father, gouging at his eyes, screaming, "I want my mommy, I want my mommy." And his dad was like, "She doesn't want us. She doesn't love us. She doesn't love you." And I know he has this order of protection against me. This is a time. And he didn't even use it at that time. And I'm like, just like, my son run to the car. He's like, "Mommy," holding on to the car with like dear life. And I'm like, "I love you. Like, I want you. Like, I wish your dad wouldn't do this to you." And he's like, "She doesn't want us." And my son was going crazy, psychopath, maniac. He had the strength of 20 people. His dad couldn't contain him. And people started looking, like onlookers, like, "What is going on?" And he's like, "I want my mommy." And he was humiliated. It felt like 100 people were out there watching what he was doing. And he just like dragged my son into his building, and you could still hear my son screaming, and it was just like so disheartening. And it's so crazy because like my ex, he's been unemployed for when I was in family court up until 2013, because I had decided to just walk away from everything. They were using my son as a bomb. Like, even when they were like, "Oh, we'll give you custody back," then the last accusation was, my daughter, after 3 years, my teenage daughter is raping my son. And they said that my son said my teenage daughter is raping my son after 3 years in family court. And that was the last accusation. And I'm like, I get it. Like, y'all gonna use my son to pretty much like try and hurt my entire family, because next it's going to be just as bad. They're going to say things about, you understand? And it was just so psychotic that you have a judge that's supposed to have gone through all this schooling and have this legal degree, and you have all these supposed to be prestigious profession, and it's just so ugly and so humiliating. Like, I'm embarrassed for America to have these type of people in family court. And people
it's
like,
unreal.
Oh,
it's unreal.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, and people don't. And you say that very well in your book. But just going back to your little guy, I mean, this is just so horrific, and that what they're doing to children, I mean, that they, it's so cruel, and it's torturous to make a child feel that they're not wanted. It's one thing if a child doesn't want to be with someone they're scared of. It's one thing if a child doesn't want to be with someone that's abused them. Those children that are being, you know, they're not being listened to. And then the children that are very clear they want to be with their moms and other family members they feel good with, they're not being, you know, it's
rigged.
It's perverted, actually. It's perverted.
It's disgusting. Yeah, it's very perverted. And like I said, during my research, my son being stolen 18 months ago, I kept seeing this parental alienation syndrome. And it was always towards moms that complained about the abuse that was taking place on their children in their lives. And I started looking in ICD-9 coding for parental alienation syndrome, because this seemed like the key diagnosis in kidnapping children. And I couldn't find it anywhere. So I'm like, this is a diagnosis that they're using to take, that's conquering the law, that's taking children away from their mothers. And this is the main diagnosis that they're using. However, we call it a quack diagnosis, because in medicine, like doing visiting nursing, doing hospital nursing, there's certain criteria that we have to follow based on diagnosis. So if a person comes with a bipolar disorder, if you Google ICD-9 coding for bipolar disorder, you get a code. And underneath that code, you'll get how much a person, a hospital is able to bill, how much a home care agency is able to bill based on length of treatment, and if it goes past the treatment, just different types of policies and procedures we have to follow. And then it's another diagnosis diagnosis when children are deprived of their mother. It's called failure to thrive. And you'll get a code for that diagnosis. And failure to thrive is an emotional, physical, and psychological impairment. Children they have real signs and symptoms, and it's due to intentional or unintentional, mother love, love from their mother. So you have real sicknesses that develop from being deprived of your parent, your mother especially. And these are actually, and when we see it in a clinical setting, if a child comes in with a mother, we can actually call for some type of intervention with CPS, because that's intentional deprivation. But where you have judges stealing children from their mothers, they are causing severe mental impairment. So this is the society that we're living in. That's why it's even more crazy to me, because not only are you traumatizing a child, allowing torture, torment, rape, abuse on children, and on top of that, you're stealing their mother, which has been proven to cause. Under failure to thrive, you can Google it. It's a medical diagnosis. Under that alone, you're intentionally causing psychiatric and physical health impairments. And this is the world that we live in now. This is the new America. And people have to understand that there is a secret war, because the mother and a child bond is like no other. And even as a nurse, like I was telling people, I used to work for an agency. And for instance, say if we suspected a mother with mental disorders, they would put a homemaker in a home. And they would have a nurse come out every 60 days to just check up on things, how things is going. So if the mother was allegedly a danger to the child, we would put home care services in the home. And I was creating the whole scenario. Like the nurse comes out and I'll do the evaluation and I'll say, okay, the mother needs a homemaker to maybe help her assist with activities of daily life to alleviate some of the stress. And also as a monitor, to kind of monitor the home to make sure that the mother is not negligent or maltreating or abusing the children. And these services, I'm telling you, cost less than 2 months in family court.
Hey, Donna.
And I would repeat that again, Steven.
Oh, I wanted to ask Donna a question.
Yes.
We're at the hour. You want to take that break?
Yes, actually, thank you, Stephen. We'll probably head into a break here in a second. Aaliyah, if you don't mind, we'll come right back to you. We're going to play a song. But I just have a couple things I hope just let me add in here. The first thing, Aaliyah, you touched on is, just the research you've done and the laws and everything that you put together, the evidence. And I just want to say, bless your heart for doing that. I've met, I can't even tell you how many protected parents all over the world, and every single one of them, even myself, we become such incredible FBI, CIA agents. You name it, because we learn quick, because we have to. Like, his lives depend on it. So I just wanted to touch on that when you were talking about how much you've done. Just for anybody that's listening, if there's a protective parent out there listening, and this is sounding very familiar, then you yourself are caught in the family court custody kidnapping. The other thing I wanted to say, and this is the problem within society, within our own communities, our neighbors next door, is the lack of education and awareness of what's going on, but also the motivation to do something is lacking. Aaliyah, you talked about seeing your son. You talked about his reaction in that parking lot. You talked about it, and you described it in such detail that I literally started crying, feeling your son's pain for wanting to see you. So I'm saying to myself, you said there were, 100 people watching?
Yes.
Did one person come over to you, either after it or during it or anything, to even try to offer any assistance and try to say what is going on?
Actually, my psycho had the upper hand. He was like, I have a custody order. I have custody of my son. And they were like, but he doesn't want to be with you. Like, they were like, he doesn't want to be with you. Why? She doesn't want us. She doesn't want her son. She doesn't want to be with us. And she doesn't want to be with me. She doesn't want to be with her son. He was saying that. That's all he kept repeating.
If I would have been there, I would have come right over, especially while your son was reacting that way, because that right there tears at my heart. Any child upset, any child crying, any child having to feel the need to flip out because they're not being heard, even
enraged.
6 years old. I would have come over, and regardless of any inability to do anything right then and there, I would have made sure you had my name, you had my number, you need me to testify, you need something written, you want me to go to the police station with you, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. And this is what needs to happen in our society, because this is what's happening in our court. Our courts have taken over the lives of our children. They're sacrificing the lives of our children for this pay-to-play, your kid for cash game, whatever you want to call it. It's child trafficking, child kidnapping.
Yes.
That's all it is. It's all criminal. Even the nature in which it even comes about is criminal. The criminal is trying to avoid criminal punishment for child abuse or domestic violence or what have you by taking custody of children. And the courts have people that are in there that are criminals enrolled, letting it happen, doing it. So I do want
They're all in bed together. It's one big illegal orgy happening in family court. They're disgusting. I call them aliens because they cannot be human, especially what they're doing to the children, let alone the mothers. You know, because I say, again, they have different formulas for different scenarios.
Yes.
And for the protective mothers, they are disgusting.
It's a set protocol. You're right. I don't know if Hannah has shared this with you or if maybe you're aware, but I'm a retired Rossage State of Maine guardian ad litem for family law and child protective cases. And in multiple counties for years here in the state of Maine. I covered almost tip to tip in the state of Maine. I worked in these courts. I saw what was happening. I fought against it. I actually ended up having to get myself out of that in order to fight harder for the children in the state of Maine. That's where my hands-on parenting program came in. I used that as an umbrella in order to fight the injustice and corruption for the children.
Hey, Donna.
So I think now would be a really good time. Let's go to break. We've got a song that Aaliyah has requested tonight, and Stephen will let you take it.
Yay!
All right.
It's from Philip, and it's called Home. Enjoy, everyone.
Yes, everyone needs to mute because this is a YouTube video.
Okay. And we'll be back for the last hour.
All right. We're back, everyone. Are you there now, Donna?
Yes, I'm here, Stephen. Thank you. Aaliyah, you're right. That is a beautiful song. Thank you for choosing that one for tonight. For anyone that's just tuning in, this is the Giving Children Hope Show with co-host Donna Ferris from the state of Maine and my co-host Hannes in Canada. And we have a very special guest. We have Aaliyah, who's also under the pen name Harriet Holland on Facebook, talking about her book, A Little Lynch, also her own situation with her custody kidnapping through our family law court. So welcome back, everyone. And Hannes, I want to continue turning this show over to you. I know that we've rolled into our last hour. I'm not really ready to say goodbye yet, but it's definitely getting close. So I'm going to turn it back over to you and let you continue. You're doing awesome.
Well, I think that, you know, what you brought up before the break about people, the bystander effect. I know people were saying, maybe came up to you, Aaliyah, and said things, but just that, that's exactly what's needed. People actually going the extra mile and saying, look, I'll write an affidavit. I'll testify to this. I was shocked in my case where the professionals, people that witnessed how traumatized my children were being ripped away from me, none of them came forward, including teachers and others that saw the pain that my emotional pain my children were in. Not one person came forward and said, I will write an affidavit about what
Donna,
I just saw.
Tannis,
what?
We have a caller.
Okay, we'll just hold off for a second. So that's what is really needed. People to reach out, either people that know our children, people that witness how hard this is on our children. And another thing is the supervisory centers, the access centers where many protective moms are made to see their children or only permitted to see their children. They won't write anything on behalf of even the positive relationship they see between the children and their mothers. They won't say anything that will encourage or facilitate the children having their mothers back. It's shocking that people place so little value on the mothers in children's lives in these cases. And, usually the mothers are eliminated for years, but often for the remainder of the child's childhood. And, the child loses hope that they won't get their mom back. They see their mother sort of going further and further in the distance, kind of like abandoning them, and they don't know why. The younger they are, the the less they understand, no matter what they're told, why their mommy isn't there for them. My little guy had just turned 7. He was the youngest of the three. And your little guy, Aaliyah, was even younger when this happened. And it's just, I just find it so shocking that people can't understand how destructive this is for a child, and how damaging to, you know, we see other people in regular situations, their kids saying bye, you know, bye mommy, you know, I'll see you later today, and they feel worried if their mom's maybe a little late. And for children in our situations, it's years, days, months, years, the torture.
Yes, you said it, Tanner. I definitely wanted to welcome the caller to our show.
Actually, the caller was Aaliyah. She must
have. Okay.
I didn't know we lost you, Aaliyah.
No, I have Justice in my arms, and he had like 5 pennies in his mouth.
Oh,
so I had to wrestle. I had to do a little wrestling with him.
Yes.
He holds them there. He thinks it's funny. I sat him on the table with the money, and he put them all in his mouth really quick. So while I was wrestling him to give me the money, while he spit it in my hand, I hit the button. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
That's okay. That's
but
definitely an emergency.
Too. All right, we'll forgive you. You have a good excuse.
Please do. But while we're getting close to the 10 o'clock hour, I just really wanted to identify that there is real health impairment and health issues from depriving a child of their mother that we see in the hospital setting all the time. And so for the court to rape custody cases like this and impair our children, our future, you know, it's not going to stand too long. You know, we have lawyers calling in, talking about class action lawsuits, and the strategy that she had was amazing. You know, like she wants to contact all the good lawyers, and I encourage people, contact those lawyers that put Mark Sorella in jail for 28 years and that recently won a lawsuit against the Pennsylvania state. Contact those type of lawyers. When I was Googling, I Googled just successful lawsuits against CPS, lawsuits against judges, class action lawsuits, and then I studied what type of the class action lawsuits that were won. And here in New York, we have a organization that takes on this type of corruption. So I just wanted, like, exactly. I didn't want to be like a person that says, oh, I'm writing books and I'm doing this. You know, I have a nonprofit organization. I'm 501c3. I have the books out, and I want to, you know, advocate and, you know, be a voice. And I'm going to use these tools, too. And I encourage other mothers, you know, to exactly. We're a sign. Go, you know, it's so funny. We watched the television, and this guy, he needed a kidney for his wife, and he walked up and down the road with a sign, and people took pictures, and then it went viral, and he got his wife a kidney. You know, this is a real secret that's going on. People don't know, and now that, because the book was really holding me back, because I was explaining to Tavis, I had wrote it from a perspective of just like, oh, it's an injustice happening to everybody, because I did meet men in the courtroom that hadn't seen their children for 3 years, and pay numerous amount in child support, because that's another strategy. It's basically and technically to destroy the family, you know? It's a real evil type of white supremacy to destroy people. The elite class of people want to have it all and find creative ways to steal money, set up institutions to cause travesty in our lives, and they're releasing so many sick children into society. You know, that's why it's so good to have all these drug commercials now. So anyway, as getting back, I just say, wear a sign. Do something like Jennifer Green did. Go and tell your church. Get your church involved. You know, don't suffer in silence. You should never suffer in silence. And what I was touching on before we had ended for a commercial break is, even if a mom has mental illness, there is no reason to steal her children away from her. A lot of people don't know that. You know, they will create anything they could in family court to try and steal your children away from you. But your children are your children. And in that courtroom, they don't follow the laws. They create tricks illusions. You know, like I say, it's like some Aleister Crowley child sacrifice in Son of Sam serial family killing organization. It's full of tricks and deception. It's very deviant. So do whatever you can to get your word out. Don't suffer in silence, you know. You can never feel humiliated by a judge. I know people say, what did you, a judge stole your children? People were, a guy just reached out to me today in my back. He said, Aaliyah, why are you lying? Everybody knows mothers get custody of the children. I could screenshot, I'm a screen, shoot it and send it. He said, Aaliyah, come on, everybody knows mothers get custody of the children. That's what he just said to me. And then he just reached out to me like 12 hours later and said, how can he help? And I know I see him take pictures with all of these different civil rights activists, Jesse Jackson, he takes pictures with Congress, he works closely with Charles Rangel and all of these different people. So I'm going to tell him how he can help. Because it's a lot of good men. Even like Stephen, when I first spoke to him, he said months back, it felt like weeks, but that's how time flies. And this is not even fun. But.
Right.
Yes.
Well, you said it. This is something that impacts anybody that walks in the doors of a family court. And if there's not, the only person it wouldn't affect is someone who has no reason to go into a family court. Someone who is not trying to escape domestic violence, any disclosures of child abuse, anything like that. I have yet to meet anyone who's gotten divorced with children, not get put through the ringer. I mean, either years in court just trying to get a divorce.
Yes.
Thousands and thousands.
Different formulas.
In fees, lawyer fees, court fees, expert fees.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Get drained.
Different formulas for different families. Exactly. Yeah. And they have. Mm-hmm.
And like Candace was saying right before, we didn't know we had lost you, but she was saying about, you know, bystanders, which is people in general. Like people need this. If they see this happening to a child and you don't even know, that's the most important person needed to get involved in a case like this is a complete stranger. Because your own family is going to back down. Everybody's going to back down and back off, and you're going to be left completely isolated because that's what this does. It does it to you. It's just part of the whole silencing and isolation. Everybody runs in fear. Your family, your friends, for whatever reason they have and whatever fear and doubts and worries are keeping them away, they're gone. But the best person you can have in a courtroom helping you to protect your child is this complete stranger. So I would love to see more people in the public actually come together like we used to in the old days. You know, when I was growing up, and community was tight and strong, and we all were there for each other. We went out visiting. We didn't text each other a text message or a Facebook message. We actually went to the home and saw the person, you know, and visited people. People just don't do that anymore. People have no idea what is going on. And our families, in the meantime, are suffering in silence and getting destroyed generation after generation. This whole organized crime ring is just getting bigger and bigger. Candace, were you going to say something?
Well, it sounded like Aaliyah was going to.
You know that I use the books as a tool to help the mothers. Like, I give all of the money away. You could ask Melissa. Like, I give money away to, like, help the mothers that internet's been cut off, that can't afford. I mean, they put us in some really hard circumstances.
Yes.
And I was saying that, because my new hubby takes care of me, and my family contributes, and my friends, you know, long friends that I've had for years and years. I have no solid income, steady income coming in. I did win my IRS tax case because with all the fraud in the courts, when they were having all this fake kinship and things going on, my taxes were stolen from 2010, 2011, and 2012. And I sued the IRS, and I won this year my birthday, February 25th. And so they have to give me all of the back pay. And, you know, with an open criminal case, I cannot work as a nurse. Yes.
That's right.
So
we can't work in our fields either. Mm-hmm. Right, Donna? With an open criminal case?
Criminal case, not even convicted of anything. With an open criminal case, we are not allowed to work. Teachers, healthcare professionals, EMT, paramedics, you know, I know a lot of people in this industry, and it's so crazy because I know some mothers told me that instantly, one mother they beat up at the courthouse when they stole her child, and she told the judge what the judge is doing is wrong, the bailiffs beat her up. Then they put criminal charges on her, and she lost her state job, working in the healthcare profession as a social worker, and that's it. Her career ended.
Yeah, that's part
now of she's it. Struggling, sleeping at different people's homes. Yeah. I went from $58 an hour to food stamps.
Yeah, it's part of it. It's part of that destroying the credibility, destroying the livelihood, making the protective parent as poor and as helpless and defenseless as possible, so that it makes it harder for that parent to even fight. And it sends the person homeless, penniless, and childless. Any protective parent that is fighting for their child's life in the court, you said it. That's exactly what it does.
And I think you also said something that's important, key. That if you speak up, and this is all part of the scheme, if you speak up, hey, this is wrong. This is so obviously wrong. This is so obviously unjust. This is criminal, stealing my children, or this is legal abuse. You're allowing an abuser to continue to abuse these different things. If we speak up, that's exactly what they do. They charge, they criminalize us, charge with contempt of court, charge with false charges, charge us if we've encountered our child because they've made up a law to make it against the law for us to see our child that wants to see us. I mean, these are all traps. And then, like you said, whether it's a criminal case pending or even that there was a charge or an arrest or a warrant, I mean, even if it's bogus and baseless and there has been no injury, no injured party, it serves to slander and defame us because of how it's perceived in society.
Yeah. And if I can, Tanis, just take a second to just offer a distinction here for anybody listening. We're not talking about custody cases where the mother and the father are separating or getting divorced and these, you know, all decisions about the child need to be made. And the parents make it and, you know, it's put in writing and they're fine and they co-parent. Those are normal cases. We're talking about criminal cases being held in our family law courts and being disguised as a custody case. We're talking about cases where there were disclosures of child abuse, physical, sexual, you name it. We're talking about cases where there's violence, severe domestic violence. These are not normal cases, and the abusers are not normal. These are the cases that we are discussing. These are the cases that the protective parent suffers in silence while fighting with tooth and nail and everything they have for years and with all they've got for their child's safety and life. Meanwhile, that child is court-ordered into the sole custody
And usually no contact by the good mother. Like we're basically lynched out of their lives.
Right, the protective parent is erased, whether it's slowly or not, because some protective parents do get supervised visitation, but that's a parent.
Which was created for criminals.
And the supervisors is nothing more than further control over the protective parent, and it's just held
right
in their head. But they're slowly erased, where they're quickly, as in my case, I was quickly erased. Once Judge Beth Dauphin realized who I was, she was appointed to the bench after I had removed my name off of the guardian ad litem roster for the state of Maine. So she had no idea who I was. And as soon as she realized it, she quickly erased me out of my son's life. So these are the cases we are referring to tonight. And that I wanted to make that distinction because the myth in society, the general perception of society is they would believe these are typical divorce custody cases. And that there's not, and even if not, they don't believe there's many when there are millions. I mean, this is
millions
that just started yesterday. This is something that's been going back
now,
generations.
Over 30 years.
Over 100 years.
Really?
Oh, yes. This can get dated back to 1804, at least from a little bit of information that I was able to gather. So we're talking, you know, something that's just been growing over time. And there's one other thing I want to touch on. And the reason I say protective parent and I don't say protective mother or protective father, because when we're talking about this organized crime ring, anybody that's involved in it, anybody who's conspiring to kidnap and put children's lives in danger, all of them, none of them discriminate. We've got men and women acting as criminals with robes on or acting as guardian ad litem, acting as lawyers, acting as whatever, but they're criminals. They don't discriminate among each other. They're men and women. When it comes to what is happening in our courts, that doesn't discriminate either. It can happen to a man or a woman. And when we discriminate and when we divide ourselves and when we say mother's rights or father's rights groups or whatever way we do it to divide ourselves, we are hurting our children more. This is something that anybody can walk into a courtroom and steal and pay for custody of a child, especially when it has to do with avoiding criminal charges. That's especially what it is used for. They're not discriminating, they're not dividing, and they're growing year after year for generations. We need to do the same in order to stop them. We need to grow together, we need to come together.
Yes.
Unite, take a stand, and we need to just, all of us, you know, we're going to be the voices for our children, and we're going to do it right. We're not going to let anything stop us, nothing divide us, and nothing get in the way. We need men, we need strong, good men, and we need strong, good women to fight this for all of our children.
Well, I'm going to keep writing books, and we're soon going to release a media campaign. We're getting a little bit of things in order and things like that. But I am not going anywhere. I have magazines that's going to be released. I would love for people to read A Little Lynch. I mean, I know Tanis read it. My mom said it's so explosive.
Oh, and, like, I want to read people, it. I want to.
Well, Tanis can send it to you because I guess.
She doesn't have the internet, though, right now, so she can't read anything.
Well, you know what? But we can get her address, and I'll mail her a book.
There you go.
I'd love it.
That would be great.
Make sure you autograph it.
Okay, because I was going to send it directly.
Don't send it to me without writing a little something in it for me.
Well, I just want people to know that I did contact the governor, and this was just after going to organizations like in my city. We have like a Safe Horizons and people pretending like they never heard of this before, and maybe I made the judge mad, and one woman said, no wonder the judge doesn't like you. You're too pretty. Yes. Okay, also, I can have my child stolen for me for being cute, for being pretty, and she was like, they do it. But I had never heard of children being stolen before until I researched and until my child was stolen. And I did all the channels. I did the mayor's office. I did the commissioner. We had Mayor Bloomberg at the time, and everybody know that he was like a really sadistic person, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I contacted the Judicial Committee 5 times, and I contacted the Attorney General's office, and I wrote the governor. I'm talking about being led on a wild goose, evil chase, with people pretending like they never heard of what I was talking about or whatever. The organizations that get, I said $45 million, and I checked yesterday, it was actually $52 million a year. Like, they never heard of this, and it's like the number one domestic violence organization in New York. However, I wrote the governor, and in one day, he contacted the criminal division of the court to put my judge under investigation. And that was big for me. You understand? Because no one ever said that. Everyone else said, contact this person, do this, do that. But no one ever sent me a letter saying, your judge is under criminal investigation. And that meant a lot for me. But however,
that's a lot.
Patricia,
you're right. That is.
That is a lot. That is a lot for me.
I would have burst into tears. I would absolutely burst into tears. Not only just under investigation, but your judge was arrested. Your children are safe. I'd be like, wow. Wow.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Incredible. However, listen to this. Judge Judy gave the judge, Patricia Domingo, a television show, and she's the judge that's supposed to be doing the criminal investigation. It's called Hot Bench.
What? Wait, run that by me again. Hold on, back up.
Okay, the governor wrote me a letter and said my judge will be looked into for a criminal investigation. Patricia Domingo wrote me a letter. Tanis has the letter. You can black out my address and everything, and you can post a letter. So Tanis, I sent a letter with Tanis, and Patricia Domingo is supposed to be the judge overseeing the criminal investigation. Well, she's been offered a television show by Judge Judy called Hot Bench. So she basically is leaving. So I don't know. I know she knew she was getting a television show before she accepted this criminal matter. So I don't know if it was her idea to turn it over to the next judge that's going to be taking her place.
Well,
they better. Or to sit and bury it. It's really iffy. But I sent her a copy of A Little Lynch, and I sent Governor Cuomo a copy of A Little Lynch, and they should be getting it tomorrow. I'll send you guys the receipt. And I included a little note. Yeah, I included a little note in each. And I said, congratulations on your Hollywood venture. And I'm just curious to know, will you be making a decision on the criminal matter of Judge Esther Morgenstern before you leave, or will you be passing it on to the judge that's going to be taking over? Yeah, good luck in your new position, hot bench. I'm telling you how God reveals, because I'm telling you, I'll be caught in that show. I'll write a book. Start laughing.
Do you think the governor would be open to, is that where the UN, the United Nations, there's a branch of the United Nations that, well, there's quite a big branch in New York. Is it right there where the governor
is? The governor, actually, the branch is closer to where I'm at than where the governor is at. The governor, I think you said, is where the Bad Mother Coffee Conference was at. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
In Albany.
In Albany. I have to find out. Maybe you can Google Governor Andrew Cuomo, because I write him in Albany, and I sent the book to Albany, so he should receive it tomorrow. And I was just really... I tell people, like, to waste your time in appellate court and things like that, you have to go straight to federal court to get this off the ground and running, because it's corrupt. It's collusion between the appellate court and the family court, and it's cases, I Google those cases too, where appellate court just rubber stamps everything that the family court just does. Or if they don't, they point out all of the trickery that they already know is trickery, that the judge knew was trickery before it gets there. And that's that temporary order of custody. Or when they place you on supervised visits, it's a way where they say, well, we didn't steal custody. The person, mom, gets to see her child 1 hour when we say she can.
That's right. That's how they make it give the illusion they have not severed the parental rights, the relationship,
exactly.
when it's so staged and artificial and contrived and brutal. It's another form of torture to have to see one's loved ones under supervision, like you're a dangerous criminal. When the child feels safe with you, it's an abomination, and yet it, you know, people will say, well, do you get to see your child? And if you say, well, yes, under supervision, oh, that's good. And it's like, how have people come to accept that as the norm?
It's the new world we live in. You know, it's no compassion. We're bombarded by so much bullshit every day, in and out, constantly distracted. Wars, wars, wars. Like, all we hear is war, war, war. So when you hear a war like this on children and mothers, it's like, oh, okay, another war. You know, like, people are exhausted from these wars. I mean, we can go back to Ronald Reagan days. People are just exhausted. And this is another battle. And people are just tired of battling.
There are still people that are getting organized and fighting for the rights of animals. And not that I'm against animals, but there's so much more interest in fighting for the rights of animals. Like, people will come on board with petitions, and we had Charles Decker on here who's trying to fight against child abuse and do a national campaign. And he says, like, the money that goes to as donated for animal rights campaigns is what did he say, Donna? 100 times?
For animals, I mean, we're talking billions that people will donate into. And we're not using this as a divert, you know, to divert the subject. We're using it as a set an example. Like, here's the Giving Children Hope show. We have, you know, our 10th show, and we're shutting down because I can't even afford to have internet, $40 a month internet here. You know, so for people who are really actively trying to help children caught in this severe form of child abuse, there's not a penny to be found anywhere. And we've made it known, haven't we, Dana, that this is an issue. But yet, when it comes to animals, you know, there's billions of dollars being spent, and I love my pets, and I've been guilty of doing that, you know, and we do that. But what is the catch? What is it going to take to actually get the people who have the money in their hands to want to invest it in our children? Like, what is
it? Look at the money that's being flushed away to make sure our children aren't being protected in family courts and with all these paid professionals that, as Aaliyah quoted in her book too, like, what is it, $1 million a year to keep a child from a good parent? I mean,
right.
Remind me of the statistic, Aaliyah.
Yes, it's at least $1 million between all of the different salaries, the different illegal billing that is charged. A custody case is at least $1 million being spent to prevent a child from being in our situation with a good mom, opposed to putting that money into services for children, for families. And like I said, when we were doing the home care services for mothers that may have had like nervous breakdowns or any type of mental instability, it didn't cost over $50,000 a year to keep the family together. And most of those services were billable by like Medicaid as well. Yes. And healthcare plans did pay a large portion of it. So yes, they did. It was like fully covered. So for them to steal money in this type of fashion of convoluting schemes and scams and family courts, you know, it's a real evil going on. And we have to just keep putting out. I mean, your show can really not end. You really have to come up with a strategy to keep this going and keep the lines open, because mothers need us. You know, they really do. So
I think, you know, I'm at the point where I've, you know, when my children were kidnapped, I just put my hands up in the air and say, God, you take over, because I couldn't even stand any longer. Yeah. I couldn't even, my knees gave out and they haven't come back. It's God's the only reason I get up every day and walk. So at this point, I'm just saying I'm leaving this in God's hands. There's a reason it's come down to this. There's a reason, you know, that we have to put Giving Children Hope show on hold right now. I feel very blessed that we've had the last 10 shows. I'm extremely blessed that, you know, the guests that we've had on, you, Aaliyah, you are such an outspoken activist. You've got such a fire under you because of how beautiful of a mother you are, that I feel very blessed you came on our show tonight to kind of help us say goodbye to everyone that, you know, listened in the last 10 shows with us. You know, so it is unfortunate that there's billions of dollars in this to buy our children, but yet our children have no one at all to fight for their lives. Not even me. I don't even want a penny. I want money for our children. Our children are the ones that need it. Our children are the ones that are trapped in this.
No, but you have to create organizations to save your children and our children and other people's children, because they are creating organizations. This is organized crime. They're creating organizations to take our children, to kill our children, to rape our children, to child traffic our children. And that's what I was even more horrified about, because I don't know where my head was at or what sand I was playing in. But like when I started researching all of this organized crime happening in the court, and I talk about it in my book, it led me into like pedophilia planning. And, you know, this has been going on and it's so intertwined into each other, and it led me into like child porn and child trafficking. And I'm like, wait a second, how can a family court, a legal system, be intertwined in so much disgustingness? And I even had moms and people reach out to me and tell me that the police will lead the child back to the pedophile dad, and they'll take the child back to the foster care agency, and the director will slip the police officer some money, and they'll turn the other way. They act like none of this existed or is going on. And it's just, it's really overbearing. But I'm happy to have wrote a book like A Little Lynch, because there's more to come. I have The Secret War with Melissa and I. Tanice and Donna, we have to do something too. And I use my books as exactly tools to raise money for the this atrocity and this Holocaust that's happening, and to help. You know,
exactly.
So, and also, do you want to mention the magazine, Aaliyah, that you're,
yes,
that is this a time to
Survivor Magazine? Yes.
Yep.
And Survivor Magazine, we're focusing on health and wellness and just how to survive every day. And we have section dedicated to the atrocity that's going on in family court, but it'll be a full-fledged magazine with everything from just how to cope and reduce stress and just each of us telling our own stories of how we are, like how you said, God helped me. I couldn't even stand on my legs when my children were kidnapped from me by a judge, you know? And so just sharing your story of how do we survive this madness and this Holocaust that is happening right in front of our face. And so I believe Tanner said she wanted to help and be a chief editor. So I'm excited because she has shared writing.
Oh, I'm
with
a chief editor. Okay, I'll be a
beautiful.
Chief editor.
Yes.
I didn't know I was going to be a chief editor. I thought I was going to be a contributing.
Okay, so a contributing. Well, all the writings you sent me, I'm like, wow. And exactly. And we use the magazine as a tool to just raise funds and raise awareness and get it out all over the country and all over the world where people, I'm telling you, people really, you say people are not really jumping in. Like the media is controlled. A lot of people are not hearing about this. They may think it's an isolated incident that is scarce. They don't understand that there's millions of mothers having their children stolen for profit, like similar to the Castro Kids scheme to Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. So we have to inform them. And I truly believe once we start, because I know there's a lot of, for instance, I was watching TV and Neo, the musician, he started an organization to protect foster care children. And so if we can continue to get the word out, you know, we have Kelly Rutherford, who, you know, is now speaking out. And if we continue, and I've been hearing because I work with Patrice and Kelly are like best friends or whatever. And, you know, they really want to take some action. So,
and this is what it's going to take, everyone working together to do,
right,
you know,
and
to raise
exactly.
public awareness and dream together, be a voice together for all of our children. So, Aaliyah, you are just amazing. You've got your book, A Little Lynch. You've got the Untold Horror Stories of Family Court, ACS and CPS, going on Thursday night. You've got your Survivor magazine, which I love the title of that, by the way. That's brilliant. I just think you are just on fire, and this is what it's going to take. It's going to take this type of activism and this type of love for all of us and our children, our humanity, people, you know, like what you're doing. This is what it's going to be, and it's all of us joining together and doing these things that you're doing. Aaliyah, I think we had talked at the beginning of the show, we were going to, you know, use the last 10-15 minutes as a way to kind of wrap up the Giving Children Hope show as our last show tonight. So I want to invite you to join us with that and not necessarily say bye to you yet. You know what I mean? I don't want to say thank you for coming on the show, and we're going to wrap up now. I want you to join us in kind of saying goodbye. Temporarily, we don't know how long, but we also can't predict at this point. So if you don't mind joining us for the next 10 minutes as we kind of wrap this up a little. Tanis, how do you feel about that?
That sounds good. And part of it, we are flowing into that by talking about how to connect, how to stay connected, even if we're not doing the Giving Children Hope show. Aaliyah was talking about her book that I just encourage people to support and buy. It's an excellent read. It's very informative. She ties in her own personal story with discovering this horror that's going on systemically. So it's a riveting book, actually, and she's encouraging all of us to tell our stories. She has a publishing company, Heal Publishing, right, Aaliyah?
Books Heal, yes.
Books Heal. And so
Books
you
Heal.
Can help you can help moms publish books if they are ready to or want to be looking at that. We'll be giving
definitely.
Information in
share
in the survivor make
and yes, sell your yes, story, yes. share your story. You know, this thing financially devastates us. So exactly, you have to be that entrepreneur, come up with other ways of resources. Continue.
Yes, and well, I'm thinking that with the Survivors magazine, we're looking at people subscribing to that at maybe $1 a month, which is manageable for anybody, and it would come into their inbox. But we can put in things like that. Aaliyah is a great resource, so she can put in that in the Survivors magazine how to write articles, but where to go to publish things, suggestions for that, because many people are not that technologically savvy. Many are just so traumatized in dealing with this that It really, leadership and help and direction.
Right.
So to go to your page, that's probably the best resource right now to contact you, Aaliyah, right? Harriet Holland, Facebook.
And I have my fan page, Heal Author Nurse. Heal Author Nurse R. And my email address is AaliyahHolland@gmail.com. So if you ever need to reach out to me or anything, give me time to get back to you. 48 hours. A lot of people ask me for like case laws and studies and lawsuits and everything, and I do send it. And so AaliyahHolland@gmail.com.
Can you spell the Aaliyah Holland?
Aaliyah.
Right? I'm wondering. Yeah.
Like, it's on the book, too. It's Aaliyah, A-L-E-A-H, and Holland, like the country. H-O-L-L-A-N-D. One word. AaliyahHolland@gmail.com. And I do have a telephone number that you can reach out to me. It's 516-584-4325. But I do not accept phone calls, so people usually have to text me or leave me a message, and then I return the call. Just because of my offer and just different people, I'm very, everyone is overprotective of me, very overprotective.
Good.
So you can but you can always call 516-584-4325 and leave a message or a text, and AaliyahHolland@gmail.com. And please go out and support A Little Lynn so that I can support the people in this movement that's doing the work. Candace, Donna, we're all in this together, and I want to thank Steven for putting on a production. And it's 9:50, you know, we were about to go into prayer. So I'm ready when you guys are.
Yeah.
Well, I just bounced off. I'm not sure what happened, but I just completely went off.
Oh, she was giving the last of her contact information and, talking about all of us, working, having to work together.
Yeah.
This is what it's going to take.
Yeah.
I also want to give out contact information myself because I am not on Facebook right now where I do not have internet access. But when I do get the internet access again, my Facebook that I've been using is Donna Farris, and it's F-A-R-R-I-S, as in Frank, A-R-R-I-S as in Sam. I have the profile picture is of my son and I. It was a police evidence picture of him and I hugging when I ran into him in public under 2 minutes of threat by my ex-husband. So I will accept any friend request from anybody because I'm still, when I can get the internet back, that's still part of it is outreach, trying to find other parents that have this has impacted all over the globe because this is an international crime ring. So another way to contact me as well until I can get internet is the phone number here. It's a landline. I don't have a cell phone. And it's 207-827-7579. There's not an answering machine here, but if you call and it rings forever, just call again at some point when we're back or available. Again, it's 207-827-7579. And Tannis, did you want to also talk about the Giving Children Hope Facebook page? Because you're going to be managing that now where I have no internet.
Right. We're keeping that page open. And I'll continue to post things. And if anybody wants to contact me through that, Dawn and I admin it, but I will be receiving the messages and I can pass messages on to Donna through there too. So Giving Children Hope is a page of how you found the show. I'm going to try with Steven to get all the archive shows on of the last 10 shows for anybody that wants to use, to listen to them or, what I've encouraged people to do. I think this is very good to take the archive link and send it to your state people, politicians, anybody that you think can benefit from hearing about the magnitude of this, crime against our humanity and what is going on in family court. So sometimes it helps to have someone else talking about it to back up and reinforce what you're going through in your particular area or state. The other thing, being in Canada, there is a few women here that are starting to organize a class action lawsuit and a federal one. So we would love to hear from others in Canada. You can also message me at Giving Children Hope. That's probably the most expedient and simple way to get in touch first, and then we can go from there.
Yep.
And Stephen, did you want to say anything about your networks and your other programs?
Well, yeah, before I was attacked by the Sandy Hook catastrophe, I was running a children's program in New York, and basically children with educational sports program, nutritional program, and focusing on performing arts. And we would take the children out and help the seniors. But since this has happened, we have made it helping and empowering children in the family catastrophe. So we are a 501c3 organization. We do accept donations, and the post office box for that is 930-752 Norcross, Georgia 30003. So if anyone is willing to assist, send donations so we can help Donna out. I'm all for it. And, you know, we have the Survivor magazine, and right now A Little Lynch is out, and which people have been purchasing. And,
awesome.
Which is really good. Yeah.
Yeah,
people have been purchasing and, share. People have to know about the secret Holocaust that's happening. This is a national atrocity, and we have to pay attention to what's going on in our country and our land. And while we're busy worrying about everything, all over the world and getting distracted, you know, and that's what, it seems like America seems to be good at, distracting us with the planes and everything else that's missing and all of these Ukraine and everything, while our country is falling apart and
that's
these
right.
crimes are being committed against us in our court, and no one is talking about it anywhere, really, all over the world. I mean, Tannis is in Canada, so close. You're a drive away, and this is happening. So we have to. Well, I think the Canada, I think the United States, I think we're like brothers and sisters.
We are.
Yeah, I know that.
Amen.
Hands across the water.
I had a couple more things before, because we're cutting it very close to the end of the show now. So, Tannis, I'll let you go ahead, but I just had a couple more things I really want to cover before we're done here.
Are we going to, I wanted to give Stephen a chance to say anything about friending you, Stephen, about your networks.
Well, I can put all them in the YouTube videos and, you know, place all them links everywhere. I can do that for Aaliyah too. I just want to ask Aaliyah, where are you originally from anyways?
From Brooklyn, American.
Brooklyn.
Born and raised in Brooklyn, New York.
Well, that's what somebody was asking, if you was from Brooklyn.
Beautiful.
Are there any other things from the chat room that you wanted to say, Stephen, that you saw in the chat?
No, just you know, everybody needs donations. If you can go to
Giving
Children Hope.
We're doing a national campaign, and I know once I'm able to go back to work, you know, get my little $58 an hour, I'm contributing all my money to this, and I'll let the nurses and the doctors and everyone know, because this is a secret, a really big secret.
That's right.
No one wants to talk. It's a real big, nasty secret.
Say,
no one wants to talk about judges allowing rape and torture on children.
Aaliyah?
They don't even want to think it, yes?
I went back into my records, and last time I spoke to you was on December 7th.
Oh.
Okay.
Yep.
It was a snowstorm. Yes, I remember now. But it just felt like a few weeks back. That's not long.
Maybe you can post that too, Stephen. So, you know, we'll put all the different, we'll definitely repost the last 10 shows. Like, some of them on there are on there as archives, but there's a few that are missing, I think. We'll try to get that on the Giving Children Hope page. So stay connected with that. Check in now and then to see, you know, what posted there, and to get the archive links. And if you want to message myself or Donna in that way, that would be great. And Aaliyah, do you want to say how to look up your charity? Is it Heal?
HealNetInc.org. HealNetInc.org. Yes. And and you can always hit me up on my Heal Author Nurse page. Send me messages, Harriet Holland, send me messages, The Untold Stories, those are the three pages. And if you can't get me, I'm always accessible through Melissa, who's my partner from Mothers of Lost Children.
On Facebook page, Mothers of Lost Children. That's
Mothers
another
of Lost Children, yes.
I'm actually another glad that you're bringing that up, because that's part of what I wanted to say before the show is over. Mothers of Lost Children will be having another weekend in Washington, D.C., May 9th through the Mother's Day weekend. And I went to the one in October where we marched, rallied, and protested in front of the White House. We went over and protested and spoke out on Capitol Hill. We attended a congressional briefing. Anyway, I'm mentioning this because I've got a silent prayer going, and I'm going to ask others to kind of pray with me for this. May 9th is actually my birthday, and then May 11th this year is Mother's Day. Last year, May 11th was the day before Mother's Day, and it was the day I ran into my youngest son after not even knowing if he was alive, and that police evident photo on my profile picture. So I'm praying that I actually make it to Washington, D.C. this year with both of my sons in my arms. My oldest son turns 18 in a month from tomorrow. I want to mention that with Mothers of Lost Children, I myself am hoping and praying to make it there that weekend of May 9th through Mother's Day. And I just want to kind of plug that too for any other protective parent out there that wants to meet in Washington, D.C. to scream to all of our politicians that they need to do something to help our children now. Then let's do it. Everybody join up in D.C. That's what it's going to take. I know we're going a couple minutes over, but I have a couple people I want to thank. Because this is our last show for a little while. We don't know when or if we're coming back for the Giving Children Hope show. I want to thank anybody that listened to even one of our shows. Thank you from my heart. I want to thank any child out there that has listened in or even shared it to a friend of theirs that they knew was in one of these situations. I want to thank you from my heart. I want to thank Eileen King from Child Justice Incorporated for being our first guest on our very first show. She's just a beautiful person who has a huge heart for children. And Child Justice Incorporated does everything in their power to reunite parents with their children. Connie Valentine and Karen Anderson from California Protected Parents Association came on our show. I want to thank them. Cindy Dumas and her son Damon. Cindy Dumas from Safe Kids International came on our show with her son Damon to discuss how he did his escape through using adult laws and getting married at the age of 16. I want to thank Charles Decker Jr. And I want to ask for prayers for his Turn Up the Volume tour. He's got an incredible tour that's supposed to start in a couple weeks on April 1st. I haven't talked to Charles, but he came on our show as a special guest, and I'm just hoping and praying to Turn Up the Volume, to get, raise public awareness about this form of child abuse all over the United States. I hope it happens. I hope his tour starts. Michelle McDonald, a lawyer for Sam Grazini Rucky. Sam is another mother who has 5 children in imminent danger in Minnesota. I want to thank her for coming on the show. Kathy Garrett came on the show, and our show just blasted away. We proved there's a God. We proved there's a heaven. We proved there's guardian angels through Kathy Garrett sharing the story of son and daughter-in-law Rocky and Tara Garrett when they were killed at 17 years old. I want to thank Garland Waller and her husband, Barry Nolan. Garland came on our show as a special guest and talked about No Way Out But One, the documentary that features a parent's struggle, in this case, a mother's struggle to fight for the life of her children and having to escape the United States in order to do so. And then especially you, Alita, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and joining us in our last show for we don't know how long. You're just an incredibly inspiring person all around. Mother, you're just beautiful. You have a heart of gold for children. And then the last one, I want to thank the networks that have aired our show. Stephen, you've just been brilliant behind the mic there, behind the scenes, and just getting our show out there and making sure it airs with as little technical issues as possible. You're just an amazing man. And then Tiana, thank you for, creating this show with me and being a co-host with me. These last 10 shows has really given me some life back. My life is children. My life is working with children and fighting for children. And by having the Giving Children Hope show, it put that spark back in me. So thank you for being in this with me, Dana.
Oh, you're so welcome, Donna. Yeah, you're a beautiful person and a wonderful warrior woman and mom. And your kids are going to know that. All our kids are going to know that we have been fighting in any way we can think of for them, because we know this is wrong, what's being done to them. And I thank all the same people you did, including you, Aaliyah. Thank you for being on tonight. and God bless everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's been such a great pleasure. And we'll be back, and you'll be back, and we'll be more sure that justice.
That's right. thank you, Aaliyah, so much. We usually, you know, we start and end the show with a scripture. And I just want to let you know the way this happens for Tiennes and I is that we'll just open the Bible and a scripture passage will jump out to us. And that's what will be the opening of the show. And then I will read the scripture, whatever jumped out to me in my Bible. And that's how we'll end the show. Well, tonight is a little different because I actually had two different passages jump out at me when I was just trying to find the one to end the show tonight. The first one is Isaiah 3:14-15. And it said, "The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts." That was the first one that jumped out at me. And then I'm going to read the second one. That was Isaiah 3:14-15. The second one that jumped out when I was preparing for tonight is in Revelations, and it's 19, and it's 16-21. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." So not really
sure. That's a powerful
way
to end it.
Amen. I mean, these just jumped out tonight, and I said, well, instead of trying to decide which one I've got to read, I think I just got to read both of them. And for some reason, they both come together. This has just been an amazing journey with everyone, Stephen, with you, with Tiennes, Aaliyah, all of our special guests. And I do hope and pray we will be back with Giving Children Hope. I really do.
And I just want to add, Aaliyah's show is continuing, but the postings will be on her Facebook page, right, Aaliyah? In terms of, it's Thursday night, 6 to 8, maybe till 9. I don't know if you're going to continue till 9.
Well, actually, we're going to continue the 9 because I was altering my show time because I wanted to get the mothers a full, 4 hours of ideas, suggestions, and just support, because you're right. The only support group that we have, even organizations that receive over $50 million, I don't even support what we're going through. It's in our basement. It's in our homes. And it's through Giving Children Hope or the Untold Horror Stories of Family Court that we are getting support.
What Aaliyah was going to do is do 6 to 8, and then we were going to have 8 to 10. But because she had a show 6 to 9, her show was 6 to 9. So now she's just going to stay with 6 to 9. So people can look on her page in terms of times or, you know, getting that information that's done on Legacy of the Nation.
I've always shared your show. Yeah, we're on the Legacy of the Nation Network right here on the Council of the Cabal. Yeah, so I've always shared your show, so I'll continue to post my time, you know, and hopefully we can bring the show back without any interruptions and get you the services that you need. Definitely. Uh-huh. I'm going to try and work on it and pray on it.
Thank you. Yeah. Prayers work miracles. And Aaliyah,
it does.
I never got a chance to actually thank you for that, because you were willing to change the hours of your show so that we could work together, you know, and coordinate together. And then that way we'd have both shows back to back. And I just thank you for your generosity and your kind heart for even willing to do that.
Thank you.
Just thank you again for coming on tonight. I want to say goodnight to everyone. I especially want to say goodnight to all of the children out there, my own included, Matthew and Donovan Ferris. and to tell all of you that you are very much loved. There are people fighting and screaming for you, and we're not going to stop. And we're going to try it. We're going to just keep going. We're going to try it together. We're going to fight together. We're going to stand together. So we want to make sure that even though the Giving Children Hope show is stopping, we don't want any children to ever give up hope, because we're never going to.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So good night,
good night,
everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen, too. Thank you.
Everyone's welcome.